Have a reading tonight before we sing again. And it's Luke chapter 15. I'm sure it's a portion of scripture which most of us, or a lot of you, would know extremely well, about the things which are lost and found. There's three parables, there's three stories here in chapter 15. One about the sheep who was lost, and one about the coin who was lost, and one about the son who we know as the prodigal son. Everybody knows about the prodigal son. In my Bible says the parable of the prodigal son. Whether it was a parable or not, we don't know. Because the Lord Jesus said a certain man had two sons. Anyway, let's start from verse 1 in chapter 15. And it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." That's to hear the Lord Jesus. "And the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious leaders, murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. For I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbours together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." I'll repeat that again. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to call thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry." The Lord will bless that portion of his word, and we'll refer to it a little later on. I've never been lost. I would imagine it would be a terrible experience. A terrible experience. We read up the papers quite often in these days. We read about people who have gone missing. We read about people who are lost. And I don't think we can enter into the anguish which must be upon the heart and the mind of the people whose loved ones have got lost, have gone missing. There is a consequence for the people who have lost somebody. There's also a consequence for the person who has got lost. What a terrible time it must be to be lost and to not know where you are. And so I want to speak a little bit tonight about being lost and about being found, and about various aspects of being lost and found. That was great. Wasn't it? And the words were great too. The words were what we want to talk about as well, about the one who has come and who is seeking the lost. And pointing over Jesus, that's what we're here for tonight. You know, the sad part about it is there's so many people lost, and there's so many people pointing, but pointing in the wrong direction. It's terrible to be sent in the wrong direction. Why had that happened to me? I've been lost, well, I've certainly been sent in the wrong direction when somebody says, yes, I'll tell you the way to go, go down that way. And you go, and you go, and you go, and you're getting further and further away all the time. And that's the sad part about things tonight. There's so many people lost, but there's often there are a lot of people who are pointing the way, but pointing the wrong way. So we want to point you tonight to Jesus. That's the one. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to salvation, the way of salvation, and the way back to God the Father. So we want to speak tonight about these three incidents, which we've read tonight in Luke chapter 15. It's about three things lost. So there's three things lost, first of all, which we want to mention. There is three aspects of being lost. There are three consequences of being lost. And there are three searches for the lost. And there's also three results from the recovery of the lost. Have you ever seen on TV when somebody's been brought back from being down in the valley somewhere and they've been lost for a few days, and they've gone down, they've brought them back, touched by a helicopter, and there's been a reuniting of the loved ones? Have you seen the joy and the happiness on the faces of those who have been reunited after a period of separation? And so there is also the result from the recovery of the lost, which we'll talk about as well. So in these three, we'll call them parables tonight, these three parables, there is a lot of similarities, but there are also a few dissimilarities. In the first one, we have the parable of the sheep which was lost. And here we have a 1% loss, a 1% loss. A man has 100 sheep, and he's got these sheep, and he's lost one. In the second one, we have a 10% loss. The lady had 10, she lost one, he had a 10% loss. In the last parable, the parable about the prodigal son, we have a 50% loss. The father had two sons, and he lost one. And so he had a 50% loss. So in all cases, there was a loss. Well, the loss probably differed, as he said, from one to the other. And so, briefly, firstly, about the first one, about the sheep which were lost. Here's this man who had 100 sheep, a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he had lost one sheep. Lost one sheep. Now, you would have thought that perhaps if he had 100 sheep, 1% is not a bad record for losses. I saw an article on a documentary on TV fairly recently about some of the big sheep stations up in the Northern Territory. And when they go around to a muster there, and they muster up all these sheep and what else they have, and they count regularly. And I just forget the figures, but they count regularly on a fairly high percentage of losses. They might have, 10,000 or sheep, and they might say, well, 100 is not too bad. And they regularly count their losses. And I suppose in these days and in these areas, and you can do that thing. It's a type of a business. People have got a whole heap of sheep and cattle, wherever they are, and they count on losses. I know in business we do the same. You've got the inventory, and you've got people coming into your shop day after day, and some of them were fairly light-fingered, and some things just sort of disappear. But you count on a little bit of a loss. You count on a loss every year. And you take it into account in your business, dealings, and in your profit and loss. You take into account as little bit going to be lost. But in this particular instance, when a man had 100 sheep, a 1% loss was too much for him. A 1% loss was far too much. He couldn't bear that 1% loss. And the reason why, I think, was because of those sheep. That one sheep wasn't just a face in the crowd of 100. You know, sometimes people feel that they're just a face in the crowd. And they feel as though nobody cares what's happening. We read today about people, especially young people, who seem to be lost. don't know where to go and what to do. And we've heard on the news bulletin about how many young people there are today who are taking their own lives because they seem to be just a face in the crowd. Nobody seems to care. They think that nobody cares about them. Nobody worries about them anymore. They've left their own devices and nobody cares. Well, you might just, this shepherd didn't have that, he didn't have that feeling that this sheep was one in the crowd. You know, we read about the shepherds in those days, and we read in John chapter 10 that the shepherd knows his sheep. The shepherd in those days, he knew his sheep. And not only did he know them by sight and by look, but he knew them by name. And he led them out. He called them sheep and he called them by their name, and he led them out one by one. Not just a face in the crowd, not just a mass of 100 sheep. Each sheep was an individual sheep, and each sheep was precious to him. And I don't think it was the monetary value which you might have placed on that sheep. Today's sheep are worth nothing. They put a value on a sheep and it might be, 10 cents. But I don't think it was the monetary value that had the concern of this shepherd who had 100 sheep. He had probably looked after it since it was a lamb and cared for it and brought it up, and he was worried about that sheep. And that one sheep which was gone, which was lost, he was worried about it. And we find that this sheep was lost in a place of danger. We were thinking about going afar into the mountains, into the cold. And it tells us there that the sheep shepherd is prepared to leave the sheep in there by themselves and to go and seek the sheep, one sheep which was lost, regardless of where it took him to, regardless of where it was, where the sheep had gone to. And it was certainly a place of danger, because a place of safety is where the sheep is with a flock, with a shepherd watching over the flock and making sure that the perimeter is safe, that no wild animal or anything else could get the sheep. But here's a sheep by itself, where there's nothing so vulnerable as a sheep when it's by itself and away from the flock. So it was lost in a place of danger. We'll just go on to the next one. The coin was lost, and it was lost in a place of darkness. There's a story about the lady who had this coin which was lost. There's one coin out of 10, and again, I don't think that it was the monetary value of the coin which caused the concern of this lady. I think it was more than that. There are various ways of looking at this this story, and some have suggested that it was the coins were in the form of a necklace, which was a sign of her betrothal, or a pledge, or something like that, for her, which had been given to her, and so if one was missing, that would be a very big loss to her. Whether it was that, or whether it was a coin which she had, 10 coins, and 10 coins are not many, and she'd lost one, and she was looking for it, I don't know, but whichever way it was gone, it was in a loss in a place of darkness. Because you read that she got a light. She got a broom, and she got a light, and she went to no end of trouble to light up a place, to light up a dark place, and go into the corners, the dark corners, to seek for this lost coin. It was lost in a place of darkness. A 10% loss. Still, it's a bigger loss than a 1%. There was still too much for this lady, and she wanted to find that coin no matter what. And then we come to the place that was the prodigal son. And the prodigal son was lost in a place of distance. In a place of distance. He had gone from his father, and said he went to a far off place. He went to a far off place. His father had given him his money, and he went away, and we read the story, and he's gone away from his father, and he's gone away to a far off place. And there it says he wasted his substance with riotous living. He was lost in a place of distance. I would venture to say that if those who are any here tonight who has not known God as their Father through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is lost. Lost in a place of danger. And heading for more danger. Danger ahead. We see the signs. Danger ahead. Do you see the signs? Danger. Danger ahead. I would say also that you're lost in a place of darkness. There's no light. It's only when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and know God that He gives us the light people flippantly say, I can see the light. But that is true. It's when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and God as your Father that the light really comes in and you see the light for the first time. And understand about God and spiritual things and the God plans that God has for us. But this coin was lost in a place of darkness. Now, if you are outside of Christ and know about him not as your Savior, I'd say that you are lost in a place of darkness. The Son was lost in a place of distance. He had gone to the Father. He had left the home. He had left his family and gone. He was in a place of distance, afar off. And I'll say that this is also is the predicament of those, again, who are outside of Christ and have not known him as their Savior. You are lost in a place of distance, afar from God, away from God. And we're going farther and further away. You know, getting back to the sheep a little bit, Isaiah, when he's writing, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And so it is that we've gone astray, and the Son has gone astray. He left the shelter of home, and the comfort of home, and the friendliness, and the love of home, and he's gone away in a place of distance. Gone in a place of distance. That's where you are tonight, outside of Christ, knowing him not as your Savior. Afar from God. And there's no chance of getting closer to anything which you might do yourself. Because you read that salvation is not of works. It's not of works. It is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's in a place of distance. Now that's the percentage, the 1%, the 10%, or the 50%, the sheep, the coin, and the Son. Now we're talking about the three aspects of being lost. The three aspects of being lost. Firstly, I would say that the sheep was lost through carelessness. I don't know if sheep have much brains or things like that. People say they don't. And sometimes, I think, if you look at them, you might say that's pretty right. But I would say that the sheep was lost through carelessness. It had probably been enjoying itself, nibbling at the grass, moving around a bit here, a bit further here, walking going further and further, not being concerned with the flock, not being worried about sticking close to the shepherd, but being careless, sticking to the good path, going to the bit further on, nice bit of green grass further on. A little bit further on, which looks so much better. You know, they say that grass on the other side of the fence always looks greener. And so the sheep would go further and further and further away from the flock and from the shepherd through carelessness and not being concerned where it was and not sticking to the flock. And so I would say that, you know, many of us have been lost through carelessness. Like the sheep which we just mentioned in Isaiah chapter 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We started off going astray, but we've gone further and further away in our own way. In our own way, we have gone after the things which appeal to the eye. You know how it was with Adam and Eve? They looked at the tree, the fruit of the tree, it was good to look at, there's something to be desired, and they would appeal to their senses. And with Satan said to me, well, help yourself. And because of the appeal to their senses and their desires and their lust, they took of it. And so we likewise have tasted of this and want a taste of that and want a taste of something else, the things of the world. And so we're getting further and further and further away from God. Carelessness. Careless. Have you been careless about God? Have you tried to neglect him? Have you tried to just put him out of your mind? You haven't said, no, I don't want anything to do with God, but because of you've just sort of, we'll think about that later on. Haven't worried about it. Some people think if they don't talk about the problem, it'll go away. And I think that those stay with a lot of people. If they don't talk about God, if they don't talk about sin, if they don't talk about eternity and punishment, it'll all go away. And everything will turn out all right in the end. That's not right. That's not true. That's carelessness. That's utter carelessness. Spiritual carelessness. We must be very wary and warned against that tonight. The coin. What is the aspect of the coin? If the sheep was lost through carelessness, I'd say that the coin was lost through helplessness. It couldn't help falling down on the ground. It couldn't help dropping down and rolling out somewhere and being lost. It was helpless. I would say it was following nature. The law of nature. What's the law of nature? It's gravity, isn't it? Gravity is the law of nature. There's something holding something else. It falls down, so it's dropped. And it's going to go. And so it's helpless, still helplessness. that didn't mean to get lost. The lady didn't throw it away. She wasn't careless with it. She just fell, I guess. And so it was helpless. It was lost because of its helplessness. And it was in a dark place and away from the Lord. So the Lord, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, we read this. Paul says that you were by nature the children of wrath. And he was talking to some believers there who were Christians and who had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He was saying you were by nature the children of wrath. You see? And that's how we start off in life. By nature, the children of wrath. Because we have sin in our bodies, in our first people, that's been passed on to us. The sin has been passed on to us. David would say, in sin his mother conceived him, born in sin and Satan in iniquity. And that's how we all start in life. Unfortunate to say, we all have that sin in our life. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. What about the son? If the sheep was careless and the coin was helpless, what about the son? What is the aspect of him being lost? I say it was from willfulness. Because of willfulness. You know, there's much willfulness in the world today. And we all want to do what we want to do. We all want to do our own thing. And it starts at a very young age. We say no. One of my youngest granddaughters crossed today, this afternoon, and she says, no way, and she's only two. You say this, she says, no way. You know, no, that's the first thing they learn. We want to do our own thing, we want to go our own way. And people are encouraging it. They say, you've got to do your own thing, you've got to experiment and do your own thing. But somebody says, things, he willfully went against his father's wishes and says, give me. Doesn't that sound familiar today? Give me. Everybody is saying, give me. Nobody wants to give back. But they say, give me, give me, give me. Put the hand up and give me. And so the son willfully went left his father. He says, give me the portion of goods that falls to his father. I don't want to hang around here anymore. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I want to enjoy life. I'm sick of being here. You know, we are all accountable for our own actions. We have a choice. Just like that son, he had a choice. He was accountable for the things that he did. He had to be held to account. He said to his father, give me, I'm going. He said to his father, give me, I'm going. And the father gave to him, and he went. Willfully went his own way. And I think today, many are willfully going their own way. Not so much shaking their fist in the face of God, but willfully turning their back and going their own way away from God. The way they want to go. So that's the three aspects of being lost. Careless, helpless, and willful. What about the three consequences of being lost? The three consequences of being lost. Well, if you look at the sheep, from a sheep's point of view, one of the consequences of being lost was that the sheep was confused. It was confused. He didn't know where he was. He didn't know home. You can take a dog away, hundreds of miles away, and set it loose, and it'll find its way home. Cats will do the same thing. Sheep will not. The sheep was by itself, and it couldn't find it was confused. It was alone. It was wandering around aimlessly. It was in danger. That's one of the consequences of a sheep being lost. It was in danger. All kinds of danger. Danger of falling into the wrong place. Danger of being taken by a wild animal. Like mankind. Who have, just like the sheep. In danger and unable to help themselves. I would say that in danger of many things, and sin has its own reward, and sometimes it comes out in the life which we live and in our own body. Not always, but oftentimes sin has its own reward and it comes out in our own body. But we are in danger not only of physical danger right here and now, but also of spiritual danger in a time to come in eternity. of being forever separated from God. Having gone astray and gone our own way, being left there and not being able to come back, because there comes a point in time when there is no return. Away from the shepherd, away from the one who wants to be our guide and protector. That's the one of the consequences of the sheep being lost. But what about the shepherd? There's also some consequences for the shepherd having lost the sheep. He had lost something which he cared about greatly. I believe that. Why would you go after one sheep? As I said before, not because of its monetary value, but he cared about these sheep greatly. And he was prepared to put himself at all pains to find this sheep. So the shepherd had lost something he cared about. And as I said before, the sheep wasn't just a face in the crowd, it was a name. I'm sure the shepherd called his sheep by the name. You know, we're not just, as far as God's concerned, we're not just a face in the crowd. God knows us every one. And he cares about us, every one. Each and every one individually, God cares about us. God so loved the world, the verse behind us says, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much God cares, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God cares. Perhaps many people don't care about one another. Perhaps many people don't care about the homeless and the ones who are gripped by drugs and who are all kinds of social, we would call them perhaps social misfits. And perhaps there are many people who don't care, but God cares. He cares about the one. I don't think, you know, just in passing, I don't think that the shepherd cared any the less for the 99 either. I don't think he cared any less for the 99. I'm sure he had an equal care for the whole 100. And so God cares for us, each and every one. He has a heart of love for each and every one. He hates to see us hurting ourselves and going further and further away from him. And so that's the consequence of the sheep, for the sheep. What about the consequence of the coin? That's the lady who lost it. Well, the coin was useless. You know, money is, if we're talking about coin as being currency, money is only good if it can be used. There's no use getting your money and putting it under the bed and leaving it there. It gets less and less. But money is only good, and the coin is only good as it's being used. And somebody has said the coins are made round to go around, and so we turn them round. The coin has a job to do. I once heard in the days of the pennies, I once heard a man came to a boys' rally a long old time ago and spoke about a penny. And spoke about he gave a whole sermon on a penny, about the faith on the penny, about the date when it was struck, and about the wording on it, which is the Queen Elizabeth, by the grace of God, defender of the faith. And he told the whole story, the whole sermon on a penny. But he said that the penny was made to be useful. The money was made to be used. And so while the coin was out of sight, it wasn't being used, and it was useless. If a necklace was for another thing, if it was for a witness to a certain event, well, it wasn't bearing witness to what it was supposed to be. It was out of sight, it was away, and it wasn't being used. It was not fulfilling the function that it was designed to fulfill. If you are not linked to Christ, if you are not his, if you are not enjoying salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not fulfilling the function for which you were created. You might say that you're robbing God. Robbing God of that which is his by right. And so the coin was useless, and so are you, as far as God is concerned, if you are not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know him as your Saviour and God as your Father. The Son, what was the consequence for the Son? The Son was degraded, and he was in despair. He was a father. I believe the father was an important man, one of the big landowners perhaps, and he was an important man in the district. The Son had a place of importance. Where do we find him? In the pigsty, feeding the pigs, degraded. There was nothing lower, so far as a Jew was concerned, than to be feeding the pigs and to be with the pigs.
And so the son was degraded and he was in despair. He came to the end of his tether. He said, what will I do? That's a great place to come to. What will I do? He said, I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father and I'll have a talk to him. I'll tell him I'm sorry. You see, he was a place of despair. I was jumped ahead of us all. That's tonight. But anyway, he was in a place of despair and he was in a place of degradation. That's the son. And I think that the same could be said of, once again, of the sinner tonight. In despair. No hope. Is it terrible to have no hope? Wouldn't it be terrible to have no hope? Well, that's the way you'd be as far as God is concerned, and no hope. No hope for eternity unless you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Unless you come God's way, there's no hope for eternity except you'd be in a lost eternity forever and forever. What about the consequences for the father? He had lost half his family. He had lost somebody who he loved greatly. His son might have said, I'm not lost, I know where I am. But what about the father? The father had lost the son. As far as the father was concerned, the son was lost. He was away from the family. You just think of the anguish and the pain and the sorrow that must have gone through the father's heart as he knew, or he didn't know, where his son was. All he knew that he was lost and away from home. The father would probably watch that son grow up as a young son and probably had great hope for him that one day he would come into the business and take charge and help out in the business of running the farm. He probably had great aspirations for him. And he'd see them all vanish down the road in a cloud of dust as the son breathed hasty away from the farm as fast as he could go. And the father was in a terrible predicament. He lost the son. And so there's the consequences for everybody. The brother had lost his brother. There's a consequence for everybody in the son. And so we come to the three searches for the lost. And we have the first one about the shepherd. We have the search of compassion. The shepherd had compassion for the sheep, even though it might have been a silly, stupid sheep with no brains. He had compassion on it. He had compassion on it. So he searched because of his compassion. He went out of his way because of compassion for his sheep. He wanted to find it. He wanted to get it out of danger. He wanted to bring it back into the fold to be with himself. And so he had a heart of compassion for his sheep, and he went out and searched. God has a heart of compassion. God loved the world. Of sinners lost. We've got to tell them what to sing that after. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. And so he sent his son out of compassion and care and love for those who are lost. God cares. I've said it before, and we'll say it again, and we won't get sick of saying it, that God cares about you and about your salvation. The search of compassion by the shepherd. The search of possession by the lady. It was her coin. It was her coin, and she'd lost it, and she wanted it back in her possession. And so she went to great lengths, lit the candle, got the broom, swept the place out, looked under the bed, looked under the table, searched and searched and searched diligently until she found it. The search of possession. The Psalm 8 says, the psalmist would say in Psalm 8, what is man that God is mindful of him? Well, I'll tell you, man is God's possession, God's creation. God created man for his own pleasure and for his own possession. And like I said before, we've gone away from God and we're robbing God of that which is his. And so he has searched. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And like the coin was lost, so we're lost. And so we are lost if we have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was a search of possession. So there we have, in the last one, the Father and the Son, we have the search of love. Can you imagine the love in the heart of the Father which caused him to go out and to look and to wonder and to care, so that when the Son appeared on the... I feel sure that the Father had gone to other lengths to find the Son, to find out where he was. Perhaps he's made... I'm only conjecturing here, but I feel as a Father, that I know what the Father would have done. He'd have made inquiries. Has anybody seen my boy? The travellers have gone past. Have you seen such and such? Describe him to him. Wanting to know where he is. Send out leads to know where he is, how he's going, how he's faring, where he is, what he's doing. And so when the son eventually comes to himself and comes back to the father is there with love in his heart for the son who had willfully disobeyed him and spent wasted all his goods. Yet the father loved him and wanted him back. And so there was a search of love. And so the three results from the recovery of the lost, the sheep were safe. They were safe. The sheep was safe. All the other sheep were safe as well. But the one who had gone astray was safe. Back in the place where he should have been. Back in the place of care and protection, of love, affection. The sheep was safe and cared for. Do you want to be safe and cared for? Do you want to be in a place of protection and love and affection? Well, that's the place where the Lord Jesus wants you to be. He wants you to come to him. The coin was usable. It became useful again and usable again. It became a witness, perhaps, if it was that. It became something which you could be used. God wants to use us. He's got a plan for all of our lives. I wonder if we are fulfilling the plan that God has for our lives, or we say, here's my plan, this is what I want to do. God's got a plan for our lives, and he wants us to be used and to be useful for his glory and for his good. The son was back in fellowship, restored, brought back into fellowship with a family, with a father, back into share the love and the comfort and the care of home and family. Do you feel outside? Do you want to come back? Do you want to come back to God? The Lord Jesus is the way. He's the good shepherd. He's the one who came. And we read in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, that the Lord Jesus himself said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's seeking tonight. He's searching tonight through his ministers and through the scriptures, speaking to your heart. Are you lost? Do you know fellowship with God? Have you been reconciled to him? You can only do it through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is about five or six stages in the life of the Son. I wonder if they correspond to a lot of the stages in many of our lives here. I'm sure it does. First of all, the Son rebelled. Then he repented. And then he returned and was reconciled. And he was rejoiced. There was rejoicing in the family. And we read that verse which says, there is rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven over one sinner that returns. I wonder tonight if there will be rejoicing in heaven because one sinner has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own Saviour and returned to him. I trust that it might be so tonight for his name's sake.